And of course, we find that happiness in Christ Jesus. But the past few weeks, I've been thinking about some of the other big themes in Proverbs, and I thought this would be a fitting time to do a sermon on friendship. With all of the kids going back to school and interacting with all of these new elements, some good, some bad, I don't know. So tonight we're going to talk about friendship, and we've only got one verse as our text this morning, and it's Proverbs 17, verse 17. And if you want to make the walk and go back and get a Bible, that is great. The book of Proverbs is in the middle of the Bible, and chapter 17 is kind of the middle of the book, so you're looking dead center in the Bible. And here it is, Proverbs 17, verse 17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother or sister is born for adversity. And I kind of figured, since this is just one verse, maybe we would take a little bit of time this morning and just memorize it so that we've got it. Okay? So, a friend loves at all times, and a brother or sister is born for adversity. Can you say that with me? A friend loves at all times, and a brother or sister is born for adversity. Again, a friend loves at all times, and a brother or sister is born for adversity. And since three is a good number, we'll finish with this. A friend loves at all times, and a brother or sister is born for adversity. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A strange and wonderful thing happens within our first year of life. It happens in neighborhood parks and church nurseries. It continues to happen in daycares and elementary schools. During middle school and high school, it reaches a complexity that we can barely keep up with. Then, as young adults, despite some bumps in the road, this thing continues to happen in college and in the workplace. As a matter of fact, it never stops through our entire lives. And what is this strange and wonderful thing? We make friends. Now, Joe and Jason were two guys that I went to high school with. Both came from broken homes. They had spiked hair and earrings. Now, this isn't maybe surprising in Grand Rapids today, but in the small town I grew up in, this was a big statement. They wore t-shirts displaying their favorite heavy metal bands, Metallica, Guns N' Roses, the kind of t-shirts my parents wouldn't have let me wear in a million years. By all accounts, Joe and Jason were guys that made people nervous. They were a little scary. And yet, it was the two of them that I thought about when I reflected on this passage for this morning. A friend loves at all times, and a brother or sister is born for adversity. You see, I remember riding in a car with them once. We were listening to a new song by the Scorpions, Winds of Change, that they wrote about the fall of the Berlin Wall. And you're going to have to bear with me here. But there's a line in that song that goes, "The world is closing in, and did you ever think that we could be so close like brothers?" When that line played, out of the corner of my eye, I saw Joe reach forward and put his hand on Jason's shoulder. Jason put his hand on Joe's, glanced back, and smiled. Now, I remember this scene vividly because it was just so out of the ordinary for guys to show affection that way, at least where I grew up. And it was one of the first times I can remember that I thought deeply about this thing called friendship. In that tiny moment, a relationship was celebrated. A bond was strengthened, and an unspoken promise was made to be faithful and loyal through all adversity. Friendship. God created us for it. Somehow it brings God glory when we pursue it, brings Him glory when we find joy and happiness in it. Something about friendship reflects the triune nature of God Himself. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit existing in perfect unity and perfect harmony. And yet, as all of us know, because of sin, friendship can be messy. It can be painful. True friendship can be hard to find. And once found, it can be even harder to maintain. So we're going to answer three questions this morning about friendship. First, how does the Bible describe a true friend? Second, what does the Bible tell us about choosing our friends wisely? And third, why would God have us value this gift of friendship so highly? So what is a friend? Albert Hubbard says, a friend is someone who knows you and loves you just the same. The philosopher Aristotle claims that friendship is a single soul dwelling in two bodies. Jim Morrison considered a true friend someone who gives you total freedom to be yourself. But Arnold Glasow disagreed. For him, a friend never gets in your way unless you happen to be going down. And here's my favorite, Oscar Wilde. A true friend stabs you in the front. Everyone, it seems, has something to say about friendship. But you know, all of these statements only have value to the extent that they reflect what God has to say about friends. A friend loves at all times, and a brother or sister is born for adversity. In this proverb, God reveals that love is the main ingredient in friendship. And I suppose that's no big surprise, but we should take a moment to be sure we understand what God's idea of love is. And I could think of no better passage to describe this kind of love than 1 Corinthians 13. If you know it, feel free to say it with me. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Now, I don't know about you, but I've always considered myself a pretty good friend. But you know, to confess, when I started reflecting on these two passages together, I have to admit that my conscience started tingling a little bit. I'm a pretty good friend, but maybe I've still got some work to do. A friend loves at all times. Why does God in His Word stress the at all times part. God knows that friendship and love are easy when people are doing the right things and behaving the right way. Patient, kind, humble, generous, even-tempered. But you know, in a fallen world, all human beings have the capacity to be quite unlovable as well. Even me. All of us are guilty of falling short when it comes to these loving qualities. And what are we supposed to do when a friend fails to live up to these expectations? What are my friends supposed to do when I lose my temper? When I am unkind? When I get too big for my britches? When I'm selfish? At all times means that God calls us to stick with it. Being a friend, a true friend, a friend who even begins to love at all times, requires us to take upon ourselves two huge responsibilities. First, a friend seeks to live out this description of love that we read in 1 Corinthians 13. Now, in this sense, love is a discipline. It's a process. And sometimes we fail and fail miserably. And this makes the second responsibility just as important. A friend is called to forgive others when they fall short. Indeed, Proverbs 17:9 says, "One who forgives an affront fosters friendship, but one who dwells on disputes will alienate a friend." God knows that friendship and love are easy when times are good and when life is smooth. But what about those times when times aren't so good? Here's where the second line of our proverb illuminates the first. A brother or sister is born for adversity. And we all know that adversity in a friendship can take many forms. An illness, an injury, financial loss, a death in the family. Some things we have no control over. Yet we often discover joy in these hardships when we share these burdens with each other. In the face of this kind of adversity, most of us wouldn't even think about not coming up alongside and being a friend. And God's word here tells us that we are born for this. But what about the kind of adversity that we create with foolish words and sinful actions? What about culpable adversity? What about the garbage that we ourselves bring into a relationship? Betrayal of trust. Destructive patterns of sin in our lives. Poor decisions and the consequences that follow. This is where friendship gets messy. This is terrain where people can get hurt. God's word tells us here that we are born for this kind of adversity, too. So how are we to be a friend to someone who's really screwing up? Believe it or not, it happens. In the middle of July, we read this in Proverbs 3, verse 3. "Do not let loyalty and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and of people." Being a loyal and faithful friend does not mean putting your stamp of approval on everything that a friend says or does. I mean, with friends like that, who needs enemies, right? Loyalty and faithfulness, loving at all times, has everything to do with confronting sin and evil in the lives of others, in the lives of people that we care about. And conversely, loyalty and faithfulness requires us to be confronted with these things in our own lives and to do it graciously. The fact is that a true friend is the only person that wields that kind of influence. A true friend is the only one who can get that job of confrontation done. Proverbs 27, verse 6, a wound from a friend can be trusted. Don't put off or neglect confrontation when that is what your friend needs the most. A brother or sister is born for adversity. God put you here to be that friend, to be that voice to someone. And there are people in the world right now, maybe sitting in this very room with you, that God put into this world to be that voice, to be that friend to you. It's a sad consequence of the fall that the true friends that we make in this life are few. A mere handful if we're lucky. Choosing your friends wisely is extremely important. God cares deeply about who you choose to run with in your life. Those of you who are older and wiser know this from experience. Sometimes painful experience, I'm sure. True friendship is a commitment. True friendship borders on the importance of a covenant, like marriage. Close friends are more deeply connected than we might think. What passes between them are values, convictions, morals, habits, and goals. So whether we realize it or not, we end up being deeply affected by either the wisdom or the foolishness of our friends. And this is where exercising the gift of self-discipline becomes vital in relationships. And one valuable way to exercise self-discipline, discipline that God gives us as a gift, is making big decisions beforehand. Decisions about how we will and won't act under any circumstances. Decisions about who we will and who we won't be influenced by. I want to encourage you to apply that kind of wisdom, that kind of discipline, with regard to your own friendships. The book of Proverbs speaks a lot about the people that we should and shouldn't surround ourselves with. Consider 17 verse 12. It is better to meet a she-bear robbed of her cubs than to confront a fool immersed in folly. Do you want the kind of friends that you're walking along with? All of a sudden you turn to look and it's an angry bear right there. I mean, Proverbs has a little bit of a sense of humor too. Don't pursue foolish people for intimate friendships. But let's get even more specific. Proverbs 16 says there are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to Him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man or woman who stirs up dissension. When we see any of these characteristics in a person, we should have red flags going up everywhere. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand. Don't get me wrong. We are not to hate people like this. We're not even to run away from them. Love them. See them for who they are. People that matter deeply to God. But be very cautious We're talking here about friends who are going to influence your lives. Never give people like this a position with that kind of influence in your life. So now let's turn the corner. Proverbs 13, verse 20. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. And when we opened the book of Proverbs over a month ago, we discovered that the pursuit of wisdom equals the pursuit of happiness, equals the pursuit of Jesus Christ. So who would God have us seek out for true friendship? Now our peers, the ones of good character, that's a given. That's a given. But look around you. Look around you here this morning. I imagine that some of you here today have walked with God for 40, 50, even 60 years. In my estimation, you would be a pretty safe bet for true friendship. And I would encourage those of us who are younger to seriously consider the foundation that a few people like this could provide in our lives. Talking here about true friendship that crosses generational lines. And I think that the church is one of the few places in this world that you can really find that. And yet so few of us take advantage of the wisdom that's right here sitting around us, right at our fingertips. We were created for friendship. And why would God have us value friendship so much? Well, here's the answer. Ultimately, Proverbs 17:17 describes God. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Ever since God created human beings, He has been reaching out to us in friendship. Talk about adversity. Even drowning in our own sin, God invites us to be His friends. He sent His Son Jesus to seal the deal, to honor the commitment, even though we have done nothing to deserve this. Put God into the equation, and friendship becomes the most important thing in our lives. In conclusion, Jesus says in John 15, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I have commanded. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that my Father made known to me. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask Him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. A friend loves at all times, and a brother or sister is born for adversity. We value our relationships with our good friends, because we value our relationship with our best friend. We pursue friendship and love others because God first pursued us. God chooses to love us at all times and through all adversity. And through His Son Jesus, He commands us to go and do likewise. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. It addresses every area of our lives that we can possibly imagine. We talked about friendship this morning. And it is my prayer that everyone here experiences the richness, fullness, and wholeness that comes with a relationship with you. We know that you have extended the hand of friendship, and I just pray that all of us take that hand and enter in. Because we know that in doing that, all the other friendships that we experience in this world will be blessed. That in taking your hand, the interaction that we have with one another has as a mediator Christ Jesus with his hands on all of our friendships. Lord, please be with us in this week. Please be with students going back to school, making new friends. Lord, please bless us in this way. In your name we pray.